Okay, so we started this topic last time in Siman Tzadi Tesef Hey, Ein Avatlan Isser Lechachila. We discussed whether that was Midoraisa or Midrabanan. Va'afilu Nafal Toch Heter Shein Bo Shil Levatlo Ein Mo Sivin Lev Heter Kidei Levatlo. Even if, meaning not only Kidei Vatlo Isser Lechachila take some lard and throw it in your cholent just stam, even if the lard already fell in your cholent, forgetting the Hanan for now, which Dharma will bring up later. Even if the lard already fell in your chulin, now you're stuck. You're going to lose a valuable chulin, because it's a 1 to 50 ratio. But if you add another 10 kazesim of chulin, you'll be okay. Even so, you still can't be mevatel ishul hachiva. Everyone agrees to this, meaning this is mefurish, at least parallel to the case in Trumos, right? In Trumos it talks about, Mishnah Trumos talks about dabar chashiv, it's not batel, we'll see that much later in the Shulchan Aruch. Siman Kuf Yud, that it goes a perech, certain things are so chashiv than al-batel, even if one of them, truma, falls in and ruins all your stuff, you still can't crack them and cause it to be batel l'chachila. It's a Mishnah in Trumos, which shows that it's not just like, oh, well, don't do batel for no reason in batel l'chachila. That would be pashit. I think anyone would like know, like, it seems to be not, it doesn't seem right halachically to just stop and do batel for no reason, but the chiddush of ein batel l'chachila is even if it's already mixed in, and you're already going to lose a lot of money, and like here you're stuck, and like you have a valid reason for wanting to be vatel the yisur. You can't even save a pre-existing tarovus again in one of two ways. Either the example the Shulchan Aruch gives here, if it fell 1 to 30, add another 30, or 1 to 50, add another 10, that's usur. Or the example the Mishnah Trumos, which is also in the Shulchan Aruch, quite a few simanim later, in the beginning of Yod, if I recall correctly, if a davar chashav, fall, but it'll be no gay actually, the beginning of Siman Kuf. Also, if a davar chashiv falls into your other food, which is not batel, you can't like break them all apart to make them lose their chashivas and be batel. Anything you do to make something batel is still usr. What we discussed yesterday, I believe, was the question of whether this is usr midoraisa, like the Ra'avad, or usr midrabanan, like the Shach quotes from Tosos and most other poskim. If it's an Issur Drabanan, and we discussed some of the other shitas, if it's an Issur Drabanan, then why did the Rabbanan Aser Bitl Issur L'Chachila? So in the Yad Yehuda here, right here, so in Tzadi Tess, I'm cutting you a Dalit, I believe, he says, well, the Aser Bitl Issur L'Chachila, a Gzeira, Atu, maybe you'll try to move Vatel one way, and you'll move Vatel the wrong way, and it won't really be Vatel. Right? Maybe you'll mess up, and you'll think it's Vatel, but it really isn't. So, you shouldn't be in Vatel Issur L'Chachila. That's if you actually work with the logic. It's a little tricky. The simpler pshat, as to why the Rabbanan would answer Bitl Issur L'Chachila, is what the Beis Meir says here, or the Levush, in Orach Chaim Sim Tov Reish Chaf Vav, says that the Rabbanan were afraid that, look, the Torah told you, you know, not to eat these things. If you just go around, you're in Vatel Issur L'Chachila, even in situations where, you know, you're a little stuck, then you'll come to Mizalzel, you won't take Yisurim seriously. So it's like Zera, that if you start being Vatel Issur L'Chachila, that's not the proper attitude towards Yisurim, it'll lead to Zilzol B'Yisurim. So again, that's the theories that Achronim have. Ra'avad says, Asur D'Oraisa, if you assume it's Asur Midrabanan, the Yad Yehuda says, like Zera, lest you try to be in Vatel, but you don't do it so well, and you think it's Vatel when it's not. And the Levush says in the Beis Meir that it's like Zera, you'll come to have a lenient attitude towards Yisurim if you just sort of get around them. Are there any circumstances where we can be Mekel to be Mevatel Issur L'Chachila? So the Taz here mentions one very important one. Right, there are three cases maybe where we can be Mekel Levatel Issur L'Chachila. One case is Sivvav. So, we're going to leave that a few minutes until we get to Sivvav, which is by Issur Drabanan, right? The Gemara in Beitza says, Mefurish, that by Issur Drabanan you can make it. We'll have to figure out what that means. The second case is the Shachar in Sivkatan Zion says, Pesim Peidalus, if you gimel mavur, give ein kavanoso rak ledomer acher, if you go on the takin hadvash, mutter. That, they have a case there, a few cases where this comes up in the Rishonim, The Shulchan Aruch there in Siman Pei Dalet is quoting from the Sefer Orchos Chaim that if you have like bugs stuck in your honey, then what's the easiest way to get bugs out of the honey? Anyone, if you had bugs in your honey, how would you get the bugs out? You would sift it. But the honey is very hard. So you would melt the honey, and then you could strain it and get the bugs out. Problem is, when you melt the honey, the tom of the bugs goes into the honey, and it's bottle and chnami, but it's bitulus l'chachila. Say, nah, it's mutter to bitulus l'chachila in such a case, because you're not trying to get the bug taste into your honey. This is just a side effect of doing something else. You're actually trying to melt it and strain the bugs, get rid of the bugs. But agav orcha has a side effect of what you're doing, the taste of the bugs goes into the honey. And that's mutter, that's not your intention. Likewise, the Rashba says in, I think in more than one place, how come you're allowed to do Haggalah? Anyone know when we do Haggalah, how do we avoid the problem that the treif taste comes out of the kli, and then we'll treif up? I do Haggalah to a small pot. I put in a big pot full of boiling water. So how do we avoid the problem that the taste will come out of the small pot and treif up both the small and the big pot? What do we do? Now, what do we do nowadays? We wait till it's Einu Ben Yomo. Okay, but when the Torah said Haggalah, couldn't have meant Einu Ben Yomo, because Midoraisa Einu Ben Yomo, you could use that Haggalah. So the Torah meant to be Magalah Ben Yomo. So we already saw this discussion in Tosfos, on Daf Kuf. The Torah meant you would put like a small thing in a big pot, where though it's batel b'shishim, whatever taste comes out of it is batel b'shishim. So, isn't that Pitalis l'chachila? Right in the Torah? So the Rashi says, no, your intention isn't to be Mavatel d'yisr. Your intention is to kasher the pot. A side effect is that you're being Mavatel d'yisr. That's not Pitalis l'chachila. Some of the Achronim point out, there's a marker for this in the Mishnais and Trumos. And the Mishnais and Trumos discuss, like, there's, now I'm going to forget which is which. I think good wheat is you get more flour per like grains or something than bad wheat, unless it's the other way around, I forget. It doesn't really make a difference. The point is you have like a mixture of like truma and chulin wheat. And right now, like the truma is more than a hundredth. But when you grind it, the truma will be smaller and the truma will produce less flour and the chulin will produce more flour and it'll be less than a hundredth. So basically by grinding it, you're gonna make it bottle. Right? Because right now it's like 1.1%, when you grind it, it'll be 0.9%. So, it seems to take as a double portion initially. You're allowed to do that. And the Hezber seems to be that, look, your intention is not to be Mevatel the Isser. Your intention is for something else. So this is a tremendous kula, this Taz. If your Kavana isn't to be Mevatel the Isser, but your Kavana is for some other honest reason, then there's no problem with Bitalis L'Chachila. Meaning, Bitalis L'Chachila is only... You know, this makes a lot of sense of the problem of bitulus l'chachila, sort of, your attitude towards the yisur. If you're trying to vatal the yisur, that's a problem. But if you're just minding your own business innocently and the yisur happens to become mavotel, you know, agav orcha, then there's no yisur. That would be a big kula. The question is, how far do we take this? So, some people take this very far and say that, you're allowed to be Mavatalus l'achila, as long as that's not your intention. The Taz takes a middle approach. Taz says, with Simon Kuflam Zayin Sif Beis, Kosati Na Yudavka B'Iyash Rabinian Acher. He says, no. When are you allowed to Mavatalus l'achila as a side effect? If you had no other way around it. Like, there was no other, like the bugs in the honey. There's no other way to get them out but to heat it up. And when you heat it up, that causes some taste to transfer and some bitulus l'chachila. If you have no choice, then you can claim, I'm innocent. I have no choice. What can I do? That's life. But if you had choice, you had two ways, one with bitulus l'chachila, one not, then if you choose the way of bitulus l'chachila, that's like being bitulus l'chachila on purpose. So the Taz gives a restriction. He says this heter of bitulus l'chachila by accident, ki'ilo, only works if you had no other option. But if you had another option, then come on, you're not fooling us.
What about Haggalah?
What about Haggalah? We have another option of going to now, maybe you don't have another prayers. You need to eat dinner. I don't mean you have another option, you won't die. I mean you have another option that's like normal. Like, what, your family's sitting there, they want dinner, this is your pot. So that's not another option.
So So my stuff, I don't have to, I don't need it.
And it's not if they had two pots. If some guy had done very well in Mechama Midian and come home with two pots, well, no, that wouldn't help. If some guy had done well in Mitzrayim and when he borrowed the kesef, one of them happened to be a kesef pot, then in a chanami, that he wouldn't have been make lor. He had bought one from the Sokrim in the Midbar, who, according to some deists, gave them the materials to build the Mishkan. Okay.
Those two tanoim don't really work together, because if you're deciding I have no other option, since you're the only way I can do it, it's not totally not in the above.
Right, so I don't think he means, like, you don't realize it. He just means, like, it's like Sikresha on Shabbos. Sikresha doesn't mean, like, you don't know it's going to happen. It just means that's not your why you're doing it. So here also, you're doing it for another reason. You happen to know it's also in Yivatulis L'Hachila. But, I mean, the good test would be, would you do it otherwise? If you would do it, whether there was Isser in here or not, then you're really honestly doing it, and Bitlis L'Hachila is just a side.
The first one is totally okay. The first
one is totally okay. Now, the Prima Gadim gives one, adds one detail here to the Taz. Here, Orchon, the Mishpil Zav Zion, this Taz says, what's his line? One second. B'li nira. One second. Yeah, at the end of the right before the two dots in the Mishnah Zav, have a tircha v'chokhi agav the two sharin, and if it's a tircha, then it's also mutter. So the Prima Gadim modifies this taz and says there's a heter bitulis l'chila when it's an unintentional side effect. Again, unintentional doesn't mean unknown or unrealized; it just means unintentional side effect. But that's only if it's impossible or very difficult to accomplish your goal in another way. If it's possible with reasonable effort to accomplish your goal another way, you have to do it the other way, not bitulis l'chila. But if it's either impossible to accomplish your goal otherwise, or very difficult, then there's no problem of bitul isser l'chila. Most achronim agree to this formulation of the in-between formulation of the Taz and the Prima Gadim, that the heter, there's no problem bitul isser l'chila if it's a side effect. I'll deny that it's either impossible or very difficult to accomplish your goal otherwise. The Rabbi Akiva Eger is the machmir here in his shut, Madur Kamas, Simon Ayin Zayin. He says, it is a whole lundus in terms of, you can bring this back to the Shabbos, etc. He says, no, the only cases where we're matur, vitalis l'achila, is if your intention is dafka the opposite of vitaliser. Like the bugs in the honey. Your intention is dafka to not have the bugs in your honey at all. And the side effect is the opposite of the time bugs do into your honey or kashering. Your intention is to get rid of this or entirely. And as a side effect, is to get the buttle into your head. So, he has a different explanation for the case of Trumas. He says that's different because in the end the coin's going to make bread out of it, and that's the heter because he can eat truma, and then it's going to be buttle, so it doesn't make a difference. It's rolling buttle. Okay, ayin shum. Anyway, Lamaisa, the Rabbi Akiva Eger is machmir. He says the only heter of bitulis l'chachila is if your intention is the opposite of bitulisr. But most achronim assume, like the Taz, as modified by the Prima Gadim, as long as you have an innocent, neutral intention, and it would be either impossible or very difficult to accomplish that intention in another fashion, there's no problem with bitulisr l'chachila. In The Pesachei Tshuva brings an example like this, a very, very, very nogel maisa, right? That's what he summarizes in Dalit. I bear hate him saying Taz, the Hadam Mutter in Kavanos, Dav could be Efshar bin Yachar, Prim Gadam Gord, Davim Efshar, Rachu Tircha Nami Shari, Ayin Shan. And he quotes this interesting Beis Yehuda, who's not sure exactly what he thinks of this Prima Gadim, but he says a Nafgamina is if you have like a fruit with bugs and you want to make something out of it. And there might be a chash, or like bittle of the tam, or the crushed up pieces of bugs, but you're not actually trying to involve the bugs, you're just trying to make your food in the normal way. You know, it would be a big tircha to remove the bugs. So, according to this, Prima Gadim's read of the Taz, then it should be okay. There's a big nafkamina. I saw a tshuva once on, let's say, you know, you have companies that make hummus, and they don't check the chickpeas for bugs. So, now, the bugs are going to be bottled, because once you grind them up, the bugs are going to be all ground up. They're not a berry, they're less than a 60th, they're going to be bottled. And they're not grinding it up to bottle the bugs, they're grinding it up to, let's say, make hummus. There ain't no other way to make hummus. The only other way is to check them first, which would be a big tircha. So that's exactly the basis you were just saying here, that it's after that there's a tzad lahakel here. There might very well be a tzad lahakel here, because since your intention is not to grind up the bugs and mevatel them, right, we'll see that whole bugs are not bottled because they're virial. Your intention is not to grind up the bugs and mevatel them, your intention is just that's the normal way to make hummus. That's the normal way to do what you're doing. And the only other ways is a big tircha. It's very difficult. So he doesn't say 100%, but he says there's room to be makel. Halacha l'maisa, I've seen in the poskim, they don't like, even here he say, and at the end of this bracket, ach ein divrei efrim gadim v'chrochem, this particular poskim, the Beis Yehuda, the poskim don't like run to be makel and say, like, do whatever you want based on this heter of the taz and the prima gadim. But when necessary, we rely on this. So, depending on the exact circumstances, but certainly in cases where there's a need to rely on it, then you could be makel on bitulus ulachachila if your intention is not to be vatal the yisr, but for some other normal thing that you would do otherwise. And it would be difficult to do it in a way which is not mevatelus ulachachila.
In this case, sounds pretty sketchy, but with the guy...
It's the same as that case of the Beis Yehuda's case, except he's dealing with raspberries.
I'd say the guy knows there's probably a bunch of bugs in the homeless. You know, that's one thing. But what if he sees there's probably bugs in this big batch of homeless? Or also the guy has the potential to hire people to check for bugs. I mean...
Right, so that's what's tricky. We'd say that's a tercha. I mean, that if it would be mamish be impossible, then I think, then everyone would be happy to be makel. The Beis Yehuda here still thinks, he says, dika tirgam ruba livdal kulam, it's a big tircha, and therefore we don't blame the guy from about the lizlach chila, like, it would be very hard to do otherwise. So again, there's what to be somech on here. Whether this is exactly lizlach chila, even in this Beis Yehuda, he says, not mochruch lakula, and from what I've seen in postkin, again, they don't love to be somech on this, but even if you know there's bugs, but they don't love to be somech on this, but it's what to be somech on when necessary.
I was going to ask, so when we're cooking for Shabbos or something, and we have all these fruit and vegetables that need to be checked, like let's say the little apricots and the dates, do we have to go through each one before we chop them up and throw them into the sauce?
Well, I mean, this is a separate question, meaning who says chopping them up and throwing them into the sauce will help? If not, might it be the same as grinding them? It might not be the same as grinding them. And, well, we'll come back to that a little, 1 second.
Who just says grinding stuff? All these bugs are very small. They wouldn't be ground up.
Well, it depends how finely you grind them. When you make hummus, they still get ground up. So, if you're sure... That, well, we'll see another tzad lahakel as well in a second. But if your kavana is not really purposely mevatelus lechachila, that's just what you're normally doing, and it would be very, very difficult otherwise. So you have to see if it would be very difficult otherwise or not. In this case, lechor, it wouldn't be very difficult otherwise, right? It's not such a big deal. Check a few apricots or whatever they are. So, I wouldn't be making all my kitchen.
Yeah, so Rebbe said before that Achronim are meaning to say, like, the Taz and the Gadim. But, so... But
right, we're a little more subject. Okay, let's just pause this for a second. Again, here we have the question of Bittel, Isur L'Chachila, Shelobik Havana L'Vatel. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger says, he's most machmir, he says, Mutter Rach in Kavanoso Lehepech. Only if your Kavan is davka to not have Bittel Isser, you're trying to get rid of the Isser, just getting rid of the Isser gives you some Isser, it's a very, very narrow heter. The Taz, the Pshat Lashon of the Taz,
The pshat of the taz says mutter in ef shor b'inyan acher, and the prima gadim explains the taz that it's mutter in ef shor o tircha lasos b'inyan acher meikra din. The achronim assume like the prima gadim. However, they, from what I've seen in the modern day poskim, you know, they don't run, you know, they, if it's mamish possible another way, and it's just like a tircha, they don't run to be somach on the prima gadim, but me'ikar din to be somach on the prima gadim. But you have to make sure there's really a tircha. I forgot, the prima gadim actually seems to have, it's a rather low standard of tircha. But what I've seen in the poskim, they, even though from what I've seen in the achronim, they all pretty much say like the prima gadim. From what I've seen in the poskim, the Mishnah says they don't run to be somach on this, maybe that's just because they're too machmir. But, you know, you have to be somach on this carefully, I would say. Me'ikar din, I love to like the prima gadim, but, you know, it's better not to, better to avoid it if you can.
Yeah,
which even he admits.
Avoid it. Like, you buy whole day cauliflower and make kind of cauliflower with puree to make soup, or you buy regular cauliflower, which is much cheaper, and puree it and make your soup. Is that, is pureeing it not necessarily?
Lechora it does. Pashtus it would. If I understand what the word puree means properly. Exactly where to draw the line? You know, it's a little hard for me to say, which I recognize is coming across, because I'll be Pashtus, we should say like the Prima Gadim. But I haven't seen, like, Bizman Azeh, Poskim, like, rush to tell us to do this. So I'd say, is look, me'ikar din, you could be somach on the prima gadim, but if you can buy the more expensive cauliflower, what was it? Whatever it was, broccoli, then I would buy the more expensive broccoli. But me'ikar din, I think the prima gadim is correct. You know, it might depend how rich you are. I don't know.
The cautious organization, I'm sorry to jump in. Cautious organizations, do they rely on the sector?
Cautious organizations, I think do, but, you know, but I don't know that they would advise the companies to, I don't know what they would advise the companies to do, l'chachiva. You know, and as if the company was Yirei Shemayim, they came to ask the post, the Badatze the Charet is what they should do, or I don't know what that, they came to ask some posting what they should do, then I don't know what they would say. Okay. So again, there are machmir, and the prima gadim seems to be ikar to be hold like the prima gadim, but from what I've seen in the poskim, they don't run to be somach on this. And you can make of that what you will. And just one last point. So what's another case? Again, what are the cases where we can make of matalos l'chila? What is this question? If it's a side effect, there's very no gei halacha l'maisa. Even though, again, you have to apply it judiciously. The other issue is the famous kula of the shach, where he really gets it from a trumas hadeshen. The Shach says in three places that there's no problem with bitulus l'achila by a suffik iser. What are those three places? One is so in Pei Dalitz of Kut Mem, where he actually what?
When it fell into the
was that also? Case. Did the Shach mention it there also? No problem with Bitulus L'Achila when it was a Safek? Okay, good. So that's Simon. It is. Yeah, thank you. It was, and that was the Trumas Hadeshen. Good, that was the original case. Thank you. So Mitzadi Beis and Kut Ches. Remember, it fell in. You don't know if it landed in the Marak or in the Chaticha, so it might or might not be Chanan, so you can stir it right away, the Shach says, because only a Safek. Also in some in Pei Dalet, of Kut Mem. These are some cuttings. By if you have wheat with bugs, you could put them in the mill. And he says the truth, something. Number one, your intention is not to move out to the bugs. And your intention is just everyone grinds wheat. And number two, there may or may not be bugs because they often like run away from the mill, from the sound of the millstones. The third place is Simon Kuf Yodalid. I'm not as
such a bucky and bugs. That seems to be pretty clear, Masora. So in Kuf Yadalot Sifkat and Chaf Aleph, where he mentions here also that old Lo Shayach, he's talking about the karkom, if it might have a little isser, but you're putting your kashrut butter, Lo Shayach, come out, we can give him this safek, whom ye can isser, just a safek anyway. The third is in Simon Kuf Tesvav, Sifkatan, Chaf Ches, where he's talking about cooking out butter to get rid of the chalav akum in it.
These are all sifkatans of the shach.
He said that's mutter because number one, your intention is not to be mevatel, and number two, you don't really know if there's an issur here anyway or not. So in four places, the shach, and he gets it from the Trumas Hadeshen. The first one is quoting the Trumas Hadeshen as a hezbor, that funny Rambam that we all recall from Simon Sadi Beis. So in four places, the shach says it's mutter to mevatel a safek issur. Now the Prima Gadim deals with this here. The Shach doesn't mention Simen Tzadi Tes. For whatever reason, it doesn't mention it here. Prima Gadim, the Sif Se Da'as Zayin, deals with it. And he quotes this Shach, and he doesn't like it. He doesn't think the Shach really said it at all. I have a bit of a Chakir. You could have a bit of a Chakir as to what the logic of the Shach was. The Prima Gadim assumes that, and this gets into all the six fake issues, he says, well, what would you think the logic of the Shach might be? Why would it be Mutter Mivatel Safek Yisro L'Chachila? What? Because we hold Yisro L'Chachila Drabbanan, so Safek Drabbanan L'Kula. Then the Prima Gadim over here starts attacking him and says, what do you mean Safek Drabbanan L'Kula? First of all, this is a Safek Yisro D'Oraisa, which only then, first you have to ask whether there's Yisro D'Oraisa, and then ask whether you can Mivatel L'Chachila. So that's called the Suffolk derisa of Misgalgil Drabbanan. He doesn't use that lashon here. Very important concept we'll see in Hilchos Feik Sveika. If you have something which is a Suffolk derisa, then you have a Drabbanan case of it. But first you pass in the Suffolk derisa L'chumra, and then you apply it on the Drabbanan level and say we've already passed in L'chumra. So he, for two reasons, doesn't like the Shach. He says, number one, what do you mean, Suffolk Drabbanan L'kula? It's a Suffolk derisa. Either there's an Issur derisa or not. And we passed in there was. Now you're asking if you move Vatel Chachila. Well, it's too late to go back and say we'll pass in L'kula. Any Safek D'Oraisa, you have to pass in L'chumra, and then if it turns into a Nafka Mina D'Rabbanan, you've already passed in L'chumra, it's too late. It's a very important principle in Psak. Also, he says, it's also a very, very important issue, he says, we don't say Safek D'Rabbanan L'chumra L'chachila. So you can't like L'chachila say, oh, I'm going to do something Safek D'Rabbanan L'kula. Sorry, we don't say Safek D'Rabbanan L'kula L'chachila, and this is like a Safek D'Rabbanan L'kula L'chachila, so he doesn't like this at all. It's possible either to defend the Svar of the Shach.
So the Shach says, Mivatlin Safek Isser L'chachila, and the Prima Gadim, which is right here in the Sif Se Da'as of Katan Zayin, says, Ein Mivatlin Safek Isser D'Oraisa L'chachila, although he admits that Mivatlin Safek Isser D'Rabbanon L'chachila. Now you'll ask, if it's a Safek Drabbanan, why do we have to invatel it anyway? Why isn't it mutter?
So if it happened to be a case of a Safek Drabbanan that's l'chumra for some reason, such as Eschazik Yisura or other cases that we'll see, then you can invatel a Safek Yisra Drabbanan l'chadchila. But that's a very rare case. The normal case is a Safek Yisra D'Oraisa can you invatel l'chadchila. That is mamish,
that is really more of a Maisim Kol Yom, like buds, right?
50-50 suffix whether there's bugs in your, in your broccoli or not. And you decide, you know what, I'll puree it specifically to mevatel those bugs. Or whatever I'll do, or I'll cook it. I happen to know that cooking kills the bugs. Some bugs it does, some bugs it doesn't, I don't know. So if you're a suffix, can you purposely do something with intention mevatel the yeser? So, the Prima Gadim says no. The Shach says yes. Efshar to defend the Shach. Either the Shach holds it, no, Safek Drabbanan L'kula is very broad. And even in this case, this is called the Safek Drabbanan L'kula. This is called a Safek Drabbanan L'kula, which maybe we'll say for Kuf Yud what that could be about. You could also say the Shach's reason, he never says his reason in any of these four places. Maybe it's not because it's Safek Drabbanan L'kula. Maybe he would say it even, Maybe it has nothing to do with that. Maybe it's another reason. If the whole point of Ein Vatlan Is L'Achila is that you have to have a certain attitude towards the Yisurim, let's say it's not being mezalzel with the Yisurim, or to sort of respect the Isser, then it could be only a Vaday Isser you have to have the proper attitude towards. The Suffolk Isser anyway, then, and if not, you have to be Nizer from it, I'll be din, but you don't have to have the proper attitude of respect towards a Suffolk Isser, because it's a Suffolk Isser anyway. You know, you can't accuse you of being undermining the Yisurim, being disrespectful towards the idea behind the Isser, if it's only a Suffolk in the first place. So, which is a very much more complex Svara. We've seen a few places throughout Shas that maybe, you know, when there's dinim that have to do not with the Isser per se, but the attitude towards the Isser, that might not apply to Makom Safek, because you don't even know what it is anyway, so how can we require a certain gravity in your frame of mind? Anyway, Lamaisa, bottom line, the Shach says, whether it's because of something Rabban Lakula or because he just thinks that the whole Isser of Ein Vatlan Is L'Achilah is your attitude towards the Isser, and that doesn't apply when you don't even know what it is Mekel. The Prima Gadim admits that he's Mekel in Drabbanans, but his Machmer and Safik D'Oraisas. If you want a list of every Achron to talk about them, what their Shita is in the Darkei Tshuva, right here, Sukkot Lamed Zayin, brings down all the people on both sides. I don't remember the names, but he's a long list. Lemaisa, the Poskim assume this is the Poskim assume in this case the case that we're not sure how to Paskin. Therefore, the Poskim are not generally, from what I've seen, the Poskim are not normally Mekel like the Shach, but with say of other factors, you can be Mekel like the Shach. So, from what I've seen in the postgame, they don't, they're not Mekel 100% like the Shach straight out, but they are Mekel like the Shach when you have other stud in the Hakel as well. Okay, that's two cases where we might be allowed Bitlos and Achila. The third one is in Sifav, it's turned to Rabbanon, and we'll get back to that in Sifav. The next part of the Shulchan Aruch says, "Avar bitlo shariba." Yeah. So the assumption is that if you really would have done it either way, you would have done it with or without bugs, then that's the case for the Taz's makeup. Not sure. Agav, a lot of the Shach's cases are where it was both in Kavanah Levatel and a Suffolk. If you have both those factors, then, I mean, the Shach was Mekel straight out in a few places, and people seem to agree to that. But if you just have one of these factors, again, if you have the factor of not having Kavanah Levatel, if it's at least a Tircha to do the other way, then the Ikra did his Mutter, although better to avoid. And if you just have the factor of a Suffolk Isser, then the Halacha is unclear. You have to look in the Achronim here. They make these chilukim, and it gets very, very complex. If you look in the Achronim, they actually make a lot of these chilukim. They say it might depend what type of Safik D'Oraisa. After all, there's a difference. You have something that's a Safik D'Oraisa you know it fell in. You don't know if the D'Oraisa fell in or didn't fall in. Or there was something which was Aser D'Oraisa that fell in, and you don't know if it was Nitar first or not, which is the most Machir example. There was meat with Dan that's Aser D'Oraisa, and you don't know if it was Nimlach first or whatever, all kinds of cases. So you're right, the post can go through a lot of these. This is exactly what Simon Kofiot, all the Klolis Vakes, they could deal with. This is a very complex issue. And, if you look, you follow in the Darkei Tshuva, he'll give you a lot of post can deal with this. And you follow also in this, even in this Prima Gadim, if you read it carefully, you'll get a lot of these things. But that's getting a little more detailed than we can right now. The continuation says, "Avru bitlo osher riba alav im b'shogi mutar v'mimezit osher." If you either avru bitlo, you took an iser and threw it into mivatel, or riba alav, the iser already fell into your heter, but it wasn't batel, so you added more heter to make it batel. Im b'shogi mutar v'mimezit osher. This is actually just at least the day of, I think it was Rabbi Meir, in the Mishnah in Trumos. That if you're about to listen to Vechila, so this is the Machlokes Tanaim. Machlokes Tanaim, whether it's only Usur B'mezid, but B'shogeg it's okay, or even B'shogeg also. This depends on the Machlokes of Kol Kansu Shogeg Atumezid. Right? This is a knas. Everyone agrees with bottle, but Midrabban, they made a knas since you violated the Yisr Vein Vatn Lus Lechachila. The knas is that it's usr. So this knas obviously is only Shaykh B'mezid, right? Because you only deserve a knas if you did it B'mezid. However, there's a machlokas tanarim whether we were Kansu Shogig Atu Mezid or not Kansu Shogig Atu Mezid. And there are those who, I think the Pichodesh is of the appearance of the opinion, that in this case, Kansu Shogig Atu Mezid, and Rabbi Akiva Eger brings up at the beginning of the Sif, that if, according to the Rai, that in the list of there's a problem to rice, you should be Kansu Shogig Atu Mezid, because we take the rice more seriously, meaning, even if you did it with Shogig, make a Knas, lest you do it with Mezid and claim it was Shogig to get out of the Knas. But Halacha L'maisa, we follow the Shulchan Aruch here, that lo comes from Shogig up to Mezid, and if you do it accidentally, there's no problem at all. Only if you do it with Mezid is there a knas. What's called accidentally? So the most obvious cases of accidentally are if, let's say I add more, I don't even realize I'm adding more, my elbow knocks over some more like water and spills it into the cholent, and that happens to make enough to invata the lard. Or if I don't know the Yisr fell in the first place, right? I don't know the Yisrael in my children, so I add. And then afterwards I discover, hold on a second. Now I realize I was in Vatalis Levatila, but at the time I had no idea there was any Yisrael there. So that's clear Shogig. The case that's less clear is... Is what? Didn't know the Halacha, right. What's called Omer Mutter, right? This we might recall is Machlokes of Abayi Rav in the second paragraph of Makos. Whether Omer Mutter is a funny kind of Shogig, it might be a Shogig that's closer to Mezid, it might be a Shogig that's closer to Ones. That's a machlokas in the second paragraph of Makos, which some are going to bring in here. That is a big machlokas. What about Omer Mutter? If I mivatalis l'chachila on purpose, because I've never heard that it's also mivatalis l'chachila. So is that called Mezid or Shogig, Omer Mutter? Obviously, for most halachas in Shas, what do we call Omer Mutter? For most halachas in all over Shas, what would we call Omer Mutter? Shogig. I mean, Omer Mutter, most halachas would be Shogig. That's one of the classic cases where you would bring a Karban Chatas, right? If you didn't Isser Kares. But Omer Mutter, you would bring a Karban Chatas. That would be, so for most purposes in Shas, we call it a Shogig. However, for Ritzicha, we do have this idea that it's Korov Lemezid. It's a type of Shogig that's just a little worse than your average Shogig. So even though for most halachas purposes it's a Shogig, sometimes we say that it's Korov Lemezid. So what do we say in this case? So that's a big machlokas achronim dealt with by the Taz. The Taz and Sifkat and Tes deals with this, and he is Medayik from the Torah. It's hard to be Medayik. He quotes on the Maharshal that Omer Mutter is like Mezid. And if someone knew they were being Vatal Isra L'Achila, they just thought it was okay, that's the Mezid and there's a Knas. However, the Taz himself decides that Omer Mutter is a Shogig, like for Karbanos and Kola Torah Kula, that Omer Mutter is a Shogig, brings a Raya, etc. And he brings a Marik like that, and he brings a Tosus like that, and the Kudus Akesef seems to agree with him. The Kudus Akesef says, Herech Va'odot Par Kasafti came B'Kitzara L'Kaman. Yeah, he said the same thing B'Kitzar, if you look later on. So he agrees. So look, the Pisnei Tshuva brings a whole bunch of other Poskim would deal with this. You know, if you want to add to the Maharshal, who says, Omer Mutter, Mezid. If you want to add to the Maharshal, the Pesach Tshuva quotes, the Tzemach Tzedek, and the the Beis Yaakov, and so
He quotes the Tzemach Tzedek and the Beis Yaakov, who say it's like a mezit, and the Torah, at least according to the Taz, is Dio. The Torah is not so mefurish. But the Taz decides that it's Shogeg, the Nekudas HaKesef
likewise agrees with him, and he brings a raya from the Maharik
and from Tosfos. Maharik's a pretty strong raya, and he also finds this in Tosfos.
In the Pesach Tshuva, I think he quotes from the
Sam Sofer like this, and the Mishnah Brura holds this way as well.
It's not quoted here, obviously, on the daf, but the Mishnah Brura in Simon Shin Yud Ches, when you're dealing with the Vatul Shabbos, there's a difference in Shogeg and Mezid. I'll tell you the Sifkatan.
Yeah. Simon Shin Yud Ches, Sifkatan Vav, in the Mishnah Brura, also says Omer Mutter is a Shogeg, and Allah Chalmai, so we assume that Omer Mutter is a Shogeg. Notice, by the way, if you read that Tzemach Tzedek, he was very, very machber. He says, not only is Omer Mutter a, Mezid, he says, even if you like ask your friend and didn't ask like a big rabbi, and you follow what your friend said, that's also a Mezid.
When you ask your friend Shiloh, you should ask a rabbi. But in any case, we posit that Omer Mutter, if you honestly thought that it was okay, even if you're an idiot for thinking it was okay, and maybe you should have asked a big posik and you didn't, but if you honestly thought it was okay, then that's considered shogeg, and there would be no knas. And I think across the board, Nicole Darkula, you know, without getting into Ritzicha. But we assume Omer Mutter is a shogeg, just like we find by Korban Chatas, etc. So both for Shabbos and for all these Averas, if someone honestly thought it was Mutter, even though they were an idiot for thinking so, and maybe it was inexcusable that they made that mistake, but we call that a shogeg, and we say there's no knas, and you're allowed to eat it afterwards. That's the difference between shogeg and mezid, which we'll come back to in a little while again. The question is, what if it was a mezid, there's a knas? So who did this knas apply to? So this is not really mefurish and shas. It's not mefurish and shas who this knas applies to, but the Shulchan Aruch says, the im b'mezid asur l'mevatel atzmo im hu shelo, v'chein l'mi shenis batel bish v'lo. This is based on the Torah, it's not so mefurish in the early Rishonim. It says it's asur for the mevatel if he owns it, and it's asur for whoever he was mevatel it for. Right, the diuk that the Shach already makes is that even the mevatel, if he wasn't mevatel for himself and he doesn't own it, it's mutter for him. If I'm mevatel achila Ryan's food, having no intention that I would eat it in the end, then it's mutter for me. Now, this is, again, this is not so unfortunate to be shown, but this is how we paskin. There's one very, very simple principle behind it. The principle is, what's the simple principle behind the rules of when it's usher b'mezid and for whom? So, to use the phrase of the Shach, we're looking for lo ahani masav haroim. We want him not to benefit from his evil actions. The key is that he shouldn't accomplish his goal. So what do we say? If it's his, then his goal is he should have a kosher food instead of a trade food. So we say he can't eat it. Right? He can't eat it himself if it's his. Because then the stomach is gold that he should eat it. Usually you eat your food. Or, if you intended that someone else would eat it, then you can't feed it to that other person, because that's also accomplishing your goal. So we have these two reasons to make sure you don't accomplish your goal. A, if it's yours, the assumption is that your goal is for you on some level, so you can't eat it. And B, no matter who it belongs to, the person who you thought you would do it for is usher as well. There's a third a third example of this as well. So again, what is included on Shalahani Mais and Aram? One is you, if it belongs to you. Right? Interestingly, if it don't belong to you, then we assume your intention was not for yourself. And there was no mistum that it was for yourself. So it's not us you. Two, me shenis batel bishvilo, the person you did it for. Also to whoever, for whoever you did it for. And three, and we'll get back to two in a second. Three is what the Ramah says. Quoting the Yisra V'Heter, he says, V'asurin lim kor gamkin lishol achish liyehanim mashit bitlo. You're not even allowed to... Remember, let's say it belongs to you. So if it belongs to you, you're not allowed to eat it. The person who you intended to eat it is not allowed to eat it. So I can eat it. The person I intended to can't eat it. So I'll just have to sell it in the shuk. The answer is,
you can't sell to a Jew.
So these are three ways that you would be considered to be benefiting from your evil actions. If you ate it, if it's yours and you ate it, then that's a classic benefit. If you intended, you know, Adam Law to eat it and you fed it to him, that's also, that was your plan. You can't let your nefarious plot succeed. And if I sell it in the shuk, then why can't I sell it to a guy but not a Jew? Why can't I sell a davka to a Jew?
Because if you sell it to them at the price, then you buy kosher meat.
Exactly. Now, this is a little funny. If you take the Yisra Heter too literally, then, like, what's the difference in selling to a Jew and selling to a guy? Why can I sell it to a guy but not a Jew? Right? I am the Rav. He tries to have a Heter with this in Shirim here, but it doesn't fit the Lashon so well. But the Mestama, like the Shach. You have to add the comment of the Shach, which is, I can't sell it to a Jew if kosher is more expensive. If kosher is more expensive than treif, meaning if I have, let's look at the example, right? I had one iser in my cholent with 30 heter, and I add 30 heter, right? So I'm a vatal iser l'kachila. Now I have 61 of heter. So if I sold that to a guy, then I haven't benefited. I had 61, I'm selling him 61, he's paying me the treif price anyway, so what have I benefited? But for a Jew, I'm benefiting, because I used to have 31 treif and 30 kosher. Now I have 61 kosher, and I'm making more money by selling 61 at the kosher price. So that's benefiting. So the only time it's also to sell is if I sell to a Jew, and at the more expensive kosher price, because then I benefited, because I would have been able to sell it for less money when it was treif, and now I sell it for more money when it's kosher. But really, I could sell it to a Jew if it's the type of item where kosher and treif sell for the same price. Right, if I have, let's say, I don't know, an Arla apple gets mixed in with, you know, with 190 kosher apples, so I add another 10 apples, Mivata Arla B'Masayim, the price of treif and kosher oranges, apples, I said, apples in the shuk, it's the same price, there's no special price for treif and kosher apples, and therefore I can sell them to whoever I want, because I'm not making money. But if price of kosher apples is higher than I'm making money. It's very intuitive.
So in this case, you can come up with the case that you'll answer somebody else's stuff.
Can I answer someone else's stuff by being vatal l'chachila?
Yeah.
Ah, what you're saying is that, let's say I am a vatal your stuff to feed it to you.
Right.
Would I then answer it? So I think,
Solomon, 1 second. Can I answer someone else's food? Right, you think the Knas wouldn't apply there. And the Bade probably discussed it more explicitly. Anyone recall? What?
That
can I ask for someone else's food? I'm not sure. Your intuition would, of course, be no. But it's not mefurish in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not mefurish in the Shulchan Aruch. My intuition would be no, because I have no right to ask for someone else's food, but I don't see it explicitly. Okay, look in the Bade. You'll tell us, David, you'll tell us what the Bade says. But you think it should be mutter. I seem to recall that it was, but I don't want to say because I don't see it explicitly.
Okay, the interesting discussion, which is the very nogei halacha l'maisa, is the discussion of the Beis Yosef about number 2. Right? So what's the point? The point of this knas is that we don't want me to benefit from my evil actions. So, if it's mine and I'm a batel and I plan to eat it, then we don't want me to benefit from my evil actions, because then I'll do them again and again. Say, great, I can have more cholent all the time. Just get some lard, cheap lard, and put it in my cholent up to one 60th, and I'm fine. So that's also. Likewise, I mean, the pre-kaddish doesn't like this, but pashas the Rambam makes sense. If I'm able to sell it at a more expensive kosher price to Jews, that would benefit me. I'd be encouraged to do this again and again. Again, the pre-kaddish thinks it's unlikely people will be so dachistic and having all these kosher bonos, but no, it could be that I'd be encouraged to do this again and again. So, but what about number two? So the Beis Yosef points out, I think this is a very important lumdus, this goes against the rule we find all over Shas. What rule do we find all over Shas that number two goes against? Anyone? No, I think you have somewhat similar issues there. What rule does this go against? What are we saying? Let's say I want to give Adam Law some nice chalva. So I'm a vatalis lechachila to make some nice chalva. And we say, no, you can't feed it to Adam Law, because you need to learn a lesson, so you won't be encouraged to do things like this. Right? So what's the problem? Am I really going to be encouraged to do things like this? What about the rule of ein adam chote v'lo lo? We have a principle, ein adam chote v'lo lo. A person would never do a sin for someone else. It's one thing I might do an aveira for my benefit, but I'm going to be your Shabbos guy. I'll do an aveira just for you. No way. So what should we really say? We should really say I'm allowed to feed it Adam Law, just not myself. But I'll learn my lesson that I can't eat it myself, and of course I won't do it again for Adam Law. Because ain't Adam Chol Tevel Olo. Why would I want to burn so that he can enjoy his chalva? Right. What?
I hear what you are saying. One second. So that's an interesting point, meaning you could say we're not choshev einam chotev lo lo, but if this guy proved that he is chotev lo lo, then maybe he proved he's an exception. The Beis Yosef doesn't say that, but that's a good ha'ara. I'll tell you what, the Beis Yosef says two answers. Yeah? You're saying maybe it's a melsibot shtich because they would never even go there in the first place, the Beis Yosef's kasha.
Yeah,
okay. So the Beis Yosef had a kasha. But I think the two answers are, I don't know if anyone points it out, but are very important in terms of the love of this. What are his two answers? What about, what about, ain't on the chote below low? Ain't on the chote below low. Person won't be chote for someone else, so what are we worried about that we need to make a knas on him? The shach only quotes one answer. And remember the two answers of Beis Yosef? It says, first of all, Ika Lameimar, Deshani Hacha, Dlomash V'Inshi, De'ika Isura B'Milsel Chayshinan. This doesn't seem like an Isra to people, so they would be Chote V'Lo Lo. Einan Chote V'Lo Lo means for a real Aveira, like stealing. I wouldn't steal, right? Let's say Taka Aino and Ani, the poor guy. I wouldn't rob a bank and give all the money to the Ani. Why would I be Chote V'Lo Lo? That I know that's a real Isra. I wouldn't be a Chalal Shabbos for you. For me, I might be tempted. But for you, I wouldn't be Mechalel Shabbos. But over here, it doesn't seem like an usher to people. People don't take this seriously. People take it lightly. And therefore, they wouldn't be Chol Tevel Olo because it's very light Aveira. So answer number one is, in this case, Adam Chol Tevel Olo. So what is the Gzeira? The Gzeira is that Reuven might really do it again for Shimon. So we have to give a knas, he can't feed it to Shimon. The second answer is the Ein Chanami Einon M'choti V'lo Lo. This is what's quoted in the Shach. What's the second answer? He may ask an Eved or a Goy to do it. Right, again,
Eved technically is bound by halachas, but practically they didn't keep halachas. The second is that ein achanami ein adam chotei v'lo lo. Ein achanami ein adam chotei v'lo lo. But, and Reuben would never do it again for Shimon. But Shimon might say, well, Reuben did it for me once, and I got away with this, so next time I'll have Christopher do it for me. But, so in this case, Adam Choti Vololo, so Reuben might do it for Shimon. Reuben really might be Mavatl for Shimon. Because Adam Choti Vololo is such an issue that people don't take seriously. Second is, ain't Adam Choti Vololo, but Shimon might ask a guy to do it for him. Those are the two answers of the Beis Yosef. I think if you look at the lundas of the two answers of the Beis Yosef, there's a tremendous difference between them. What's the difference between the lundas of the two answers of the Beis Yosef? Again, there's an Isra Mishin is Batal B'Shvilo, right? If Reuven is Mavatal Isra B'Shvilo for Shimon, Shimon can't eat it. Why? One answer is we're afraid Reuven might keep being Mavatal for Shimon. The other answer is that no way, Reuven won't do it again. We'll give him a Musar Shmuz, we'll explain it, or maybe we're now, I don't think Reuven will do it in the first place. But Shimon might get a guy to be mevatel for him, so we have to ask him. Mishnah is batel b'shvilo. If I were to ask you what's the lundish difference in these two pshatim, you would say the lundish difference in these two pshatim is it a knas on? Who's the knas on? According to the first pshat of Adam chote v'lo lo, who's the knas on? Exactly, the knas is on Reuven, right on the mevatel. But according to the second shot, who's the knas on? Right, the knas is not on Reuven. We don't think Reuven will do it for Shimon. The knas is on Shimon that he shouldn't say, well, I can't get Reuven to do it for me, but I'll get Christopher to do it for me. The knas is on Shimon on the Mishan is Batel Bishvilo. And now we'll see in just half a second why this is such an important Nogel Maisa. Machlokis. Again, according to the first day, what's the reason Chazal asked Mishnah is batel b'shvilo? Because they're afraid I'll do it for him a million times. So they made a knas on me that I can't feed it to him. According to the second day, what's the reason behind Mishnah is batel b'shvilo? Because they're afraid the person who benefits will enjoy it so much they'll just ask Goyim and whoever he can find in Avadim and all kinds of people to do it for him. The nafkamina might be the machlokis here between the The machlokas here maybe between the Taz, quoting the Marshal, and the Rabbi Akiva Eger, quoting the Rivash, of what if, what about the following case? Well, you could have potentially you could have two cases. What would be an afkamina? Lechora, you could say. How about this? Reuven bitel lechachila b'mezid lachila Shimon, and Shimon was a shogeg, or he didn't know it all. What if Reuven is a vatel lechachila for Shimon and Reuven's a mezid, but Shimon's not only Shogeg and Ones, Shimon has no idea. It's not like we have a deal set up here, we have a pattern. I'm the Vatel Chachila for Leib Zelish. And now as he has no idea, he'd be horrified. Remember, if he told me not to do it for him. But what can he do? I'm a no good Nick. And I keep doing it again. He tried to stop me and couldn't. So what if the Reuven is a Vatel Chachila on purpose, but Shimon doesn't want it to be mevatel for him. So the Taz of Kut Yud quotes from the Marshal. Here's Marshal, etc. Davka sheyod hazeh shez batel v'nichalei. Avol lo yad imenu shoydari k'shogeg. He says it's only usur if Shimon knew about it and approved. Even if Shimon didn't command it. But if Shimon knew it and approved and colluded in this, then that's usur, because then Shimon's amazed. But if Shimon didn't know about it, then it's not also to Shimon. Why should we put a knas on Shimon if he didn't know about it? He views the Gavra of the knas as Mishnah as Batel B'Shvilo. The knas is going on the mitzvah spatel shul on the shimon. So if shimon wasn't mezid, then there's no knas. But Rabbi Akiva Eger says, in some of you have letters, I just have to do your maskels. The chen l'isha spatel b'shvilo v'im bidal al stam l'isha yirtzi yiknos harei k'mi shenas v'shulim b'yichad v'asher l'kulim shuvas r'ivash v'nishma yizeh da'af b'isha spatel v'ru lo yadam yizeh d'lo ketaz. He quotes a shuvas r'ivash that if someone was batel stam for the customers, then it's usher to all the customers because they are mishin is batel b'shvilo. And Rabbi Akiva Eger makes a very reasonable deal. He says, what? All the customers knew about this and approved? No, he says, we see where as long as the mevatel was mezid, even if mishin is batel b'shvilo was shogeg, it's still usher because the knas on the mevatel.
Let's just a second.
What? Well, that's the truth. Is the earlier Rukiego, the first Rukiego, deals with this with Rasmus Kaelin. But Pasha, Knas, can't be on the. Knas has to be. You're right, the Knas can be chal on the food, but it has to be because of a person. The Knas has to come from a reaction to the rishos of a person. Then it can be chal on the food.
The person needs to be punished.
Right. Yes, who are we punishing? So again, what if. Who are we punishing? Are we punishing Misha, Isser, Lemi, Shenis, Batel, Bishvilo? Is it a knas on the Mevatel, which works for the Beis Yosef? First shot. Or is it a knas, Almi, Shenis, Batel, Bishvilo, which seems to come out of the Beis Yosef's second shot? The nafkamina would be, what if you had the mevatel was amazed, but mishen is batel bishvilo was not amazed. So if you see it as a knas on the mevatel, then if he was amazed, it should be usher for everyone. So it should be usher even for the Stam customer, right? Even if there was no Misha Nisbatel B'Shvilo, I run a store and I'm a Mevatel Achila for the customer. He's not even a person, but it doesn't matter. If the Knas is on the Mevatel, then if he plans to sell it to anyone, he can't sell it to anyone. And this is the opinion of the Rivash and Rabbi Akiva Eger. But if you assume the Knas is on Misha Nasa B'Shvilo, then that's only a Knas if he acquiesced in this. But if he didn't acquiesce in this, if he wasn't happy about this, if he tried to avoid this, then it should be mutter. And this is the pshat of the Marshal and the Taz. Tremendous nafkamina would be, if I stop and go to a store, they're vatalis and rachila, and I don't want them to, then the Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Rivash would say, usher, because the knas on him that he can't sell it to me. While the Marshal and Taz say, it's mutter for me to buy there. Because there's no knas on me, because I didn't do anything wrong, I didn't even acquiesce in anything wrong, I didn't wink at anything wrong. That's a very, very important machlokas. How we paskin is, I haven't found in the Achronim a very clear psak on this.
Doesn't the Chabad already say with
the Taz? Where? Not this batel b'shvilo, but right. But the Mishnah's Batel B'Shvilo was usher. But what if Mishnah's Batel B'Shvilo was not amazed? Then the Mechaber doesn't say.
Isn't that like
Shakol? No. That is people who the guy never had a Havmina to feed it to. I invite the Zerikers for lunch. So I'm a Batelist and I do it for myself and for the Zerikers. Then all of a sudden an Ani comes to the door and says, I'm hungry. So I give it to him. That's Shakol Adam. Or I go to the rabbi, he says, oh, you're mevatel chalila knas on you, you can't eat it, you can't feed it to the Zerikers. So I say, okay, what can I do with these? He says, I don't know, give it to the turtles. That's me, shark aladam, I had no intention, I know how many they would eat them.
Yeah.
Another unbelievable great nafkamina is, what about a guy, shebitel, right? L'achilas Yisrael. What if a guy is mevatel chalila with intention to feed it to a Jew? So if you say the knas is on the mevatel, then is it shaykh to make a knas with the guy's mevatel of achila? Then it should be mutter. Not even shaykh to talk about a knas on the mevatel here. What do you mean? It's the guy is mutter mevatel is l'chachila taka. But if you say the knas on mishin is batel b'shvilo, lest he tell a guy to do it, then over here, this is exactly where the knas belongs. If my, I have a guyish friend. I have a guyish neighbor. Or a guyish housekeeper. My guyish housekeeper is batel l'chachila for me. So if the knas is on the guy, then it's not shaykh here. But if the knas is on me, because I might tell a guy to do it, this is exactly where we need the knas. Yeah, I'll be so happy, I'll tell her to do it every day. So we better have a knas here. So that would also be a tremendous nafkamina. This is a very, very, very big machlokas achronim. If you look in the Prima Gadim, this is about the Maram Lublin, is one of the main people who talks about it. The Prima Gadim, why is this, by the way, so important, this question of Goy? This is very important if you live in Chutz Laaretz and you're the OU, right? Assuming all the companies are Goyim. If it's a Jewish company, then that's already a different story. But assuming a Goyish company, the Goyish company is Mavatalis or Achila Bemezid. Right? We tell them, no, you know, this is a non-kosher ingredient. And they say, no, don't worry, I've done my research. I spoke to my rabbi, and he tells me it's batel, so I can do it anyway. So, OU or not OU? So, the first person to deal with this, I think, is the Maram Lublin. He's quoted in the Prima Gadim, Simon Kuf Gimel, in the Sif Zedah Sif Kutin Yud Dalid. All the way at the end. It's a very long. Kasim Aram Lublin. Right? If there's a mixture of treif and kosher milk, and the Ovi Gochavim Oset Vinos, Echemav Advinos, Lasar, Vyashra, Lokech, Acharkach, Inkam Vatel Isod, Vyadu Gochavim Vatel. Right? If a guy has like a treif animal and kosher animals in his dairy farm, and he mixes the treif and kosher milk and makes cheese. Right? So, and it's less than a 60th. So that's fine. There's no problem. Bittul Zachil, because there's a guy. And he says, Av Shishro, well, even though, hold on a second. Chalav Akum and Gvinas Akum is treif anyway. He says, no, that Jew is supervising. Even though the Jew is supervising, at least Chemes Akum, the Jew is supervising, says, no problem. No problem, as long as the Jew didn't tell him to do it. Obviously, the Jew can't tell him to do it. That's a Mirla Akum. But even if the Jew is supervising, even if it's under Hashgacha Chol Yisrael, right? Because otherwise it would be Chol of Stam, or Chol of Akum, rather. So it's still Mutter, because the guy has no way, he's not Nizan Mozer on Vittel or Achil. The guy can do whatever he wants. You can't tell him to, because I'm your Akum. But you can supervise. As long as you don't tell him to. So this is the opinion of the Maharam Lublin. Again, if you want to know where it is, it's in the Prima Gadim, Sif Seidah, Sif and Kuf Gimel. So cutting your dalit all the way to the end. It's a very long one. One second. There's also Shut Radvaz who's making on this. Same exact case. Shut Radvaz. Simon Tuf Kuf Ayin Kes is also making on this. However, the Shut Rashbash is machmer on this. That would be Simon Tuf Kuf Samech, and I think that's quoted in the Levushe Srod. Oh, you know this Levushe Srod?
No, we don't know who the Rashbash is.
Oh, the Rashbash is the son of the Tashbates. The Tashbates. Now, the Tashbates, Rav, again, not the little book Tashbates, by Rav Shimsha Bar Tzadik, a Talmud of Maharam Rutenberg, which is just a little book that's not really quoted much. Once in a blue moon, it's just there to confuse you. But the big Sefer Shot Tashbates was a very famous by Rav Shimon Bar Tzemach Duran, who was, if I recall correctly, one of the Gedolei Aposkim, and really the Gedolei Ador of the 15th century of the Sephardim, but really the whole world at that time. 15th century was the Sephardim were much. They were much bigger gedolim among the Sephardim then. And his son, who took over for him, was the Rashbash, who was not quite as famous, also a gadol, took over as Rosh Bezdin, I forget which country, but someplace. Dei Chashvat?
And yeah, someplace in North Africa, in Morocco, wherever it was. So the Rashba Shut, it's not. So I admit, I will be the first one to admit that it's not so widely quoted. But one second, I'll just quote you. The Levushei Srad is, should be right here. Here we are. It's quoted in the Piskei Tshuva, Siman Kuf Kaf Beis of Katan Hey. Levushei Srad. Quoted in the Piskei Tshuva, Siman Kuf Kaf Beis of Katan Hey. It's actually about a slightly parallel case, cooking an Ein Ben Yom Kli. But he says, if the guy does it himself for a Jew, or even for customers where most of the customers are Jewish, then Efsher that it's Aser. Says, for sure if the Jew knows about it, but even if the Jew doesn't know, he thinks Efsher that it's Aser, which is taken by many poskim to mean it's Aser. So the Levushei Srad, quoted in the Piskei Tshuva, seems to think it's Aser. So I think they're arguing that the same wonders here, if it's a Knas on the Mevatel, it's not Shayach to a guy, that's Maran Levlin and the Shuvar Vaz. If it's a Knas on the Mishanase Bishvilo, then, if it's a Knas on the Mishanase Bishvilo, then it's Shayach even if the guy did it, because Adarabah. Because if I enjoy so much the guy does it for me once, I might have the guy do it for me all the time. I know what you're going to say, I think. And I'll say it in a second. But halacha lemaisa, where does this, let's just think for a second about what this comes down to, halacha lemaisa. Oh, halacha lemaisa, I'll just, yeah. Halacha lemaisa, this is very, very important, because lechora, they're arguing about the issue of giving a hashgacha to a trade factory, or at least to a trade goyish factory, right? Which in a chutzlar, that's generally what they're dealing with. Most of the factories are goyish, although, or at least I think. Truth is, I don't know. At the very least, many factories are goyish. So this is a very big nafkamina. Again, Levushei Srad says, straight out, of course you can't give it a hashgacha. Adarava, if this guy is being mevatel lishol achila and he knows that he's thinking of Jewish customers, second, he's thinking of Jewish customers, it's also the Mishanasa Bishvilo. While the Maharam Lin said that was exactly his case. The guy was giving Ashkach and Chalav Yisrael. He was sitting there watching them milk the trade cows, watching them milk one trade cow and 60 kosher cows, mix all the milk together and make chema and vina, whatever else they made. They made out of these things, right? I guess the Jew would be involved in the Gvina stage. And it was kosher gar. Halach lemaisa, Rav Moshe Feinstein deals with this in the Shut Igros Moshe, Yordei Chilik Beisim and Mem Aleph. Very, very important. Shut Igros Moshe, Chilik Beisim and Mem Aleph. And Rav Moshe says, he's machriya against the Levushei Srad. He says, we hold like the Maran Lublin, that if a guy does it, again, if we told him to, this comes up also, Mefurish and Simon, I think both Kuf Chaf Beis and Kuf Gimel, if a Jew tells the guy to do it, then forget it. That's called Amir La'akam, and that's no Hava Minad Mimekel in that case. We're talking about the guy does it, not the guy goes to the OU and says, what can I do? You know, he says, I'll give you an Eitzah, just being Vatel Lishon Hachiva. No, that's Amir La'akam, no way. So the guy on his own, the normal way he does it, whether it's just because that's the normal way he does it, or whether it's because he on his own looked up on the internet and found all the rules of Bittul and decided how to get around these, the L'chachila kosher regulations, can you give him hashgacha? So if Moshe Feinstein paskins in Igros Moshe Yoredeya Chelek Beis Simen Mem Aleph, is that what I said? Yeah. He paskins like the Maharam Lublin, the Takitz Mutter, there's no Knossos on Goyim. Even though the Goyim knew he was selling it to Jews, right? He got a Hechsher. He knows a Hechsher means he's selling it to Jews. He specifically has Kavana to sell it to the Jews. Nonetheless, there's no Knoss on Goyim. I would add, by the way, to Ramosha's logic, which I don't think he says in the Hedya, but if you look at this from a Lundish perspective, then it's Mukrach against the Levushei Srad. Because you could say, I mean, Manevshach. If it's a knas on the mevatel of goy doesn't deserve a knas. And if it's a knas on mishan esvatel v'shvilo, the mishan esvatel v'shvilo, if they objected and they didn't know about it and it wasn't their fault, then there should be no knas on them either. So again, the Levushei Srad isn't impressed by this miman of shach, but I would say it's a miman of shach you can't say the Levushei Srad, because as long as the consumer wasn't happy with this and the consumer tried to object, and the consumer says, we don't want you to do this for us,
right, or you're an innocent consumer and you don't know anything, right, you're an innocent consumer, you don't know anything, then, mimanashach, you can't be a knas on a guy because he's a guy, and there can't be a knas on you because you weren't amazed, and you weren't complicit in this. So I think the Moshe Shrad is very, very dachuk, and it's very dachuk, and Moshe Feinstein paskins against it. What does that mean, halacha l'maisa? Anyone know what we do, halacha l'maisa? Do we give a hechsher? What? We don't. Why? Because Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in this tshuva, he says, Medina, it's mutter to give a hechsher. It could very well be, I'm not familiar with what they do in other countries of the world. But there are other countries of the world where they don't have as much luck. You know, they don't have the luxury of the OU in America, where the OU comes with a clout of, you know, however many million consumers, and, you know, everyone does what they say, the chuli. But in some countries, it may be that, you know, the countries where they don't even put it on the product because they don't want the anti-Semites to see the kashrus. I'm not joking. In England, you know, you don't have to go to Saudi Arabia for this. You know, they have their list and the chuli. So in those countries, I don't know, maybe I don't know what they do in those countries. Maybe then they don't have a choice. They have to have some products, and I don't know what they do. But at the very least, in America and in Israel, where Moshe Feinstein writes, he says, it's mutter, but mechur hadavar. It's mutter, but it's not proper. Mechur, now he doesn't mean mechur adavar to eat it. He means mechur adavar to put the OU on it. Meaning, it's not proper that the OU, or whoever, I don't know what the OU is asking, but it doesn't matter. It's not proper that mamish give a hashgacha to someone who's mevatalos la'achila, even if technically it's okay. It's not proper on the level of giving a hashgacha. So the minhag olam like Rav Moshe Feinstein that technically the Maharam Lublin did it, so we can also do it. Technically, it's mutter to give a hashgacha on the factory of a guy. He's matzalos la'achila. Again, Rav Moshe says to be holik Maharam Lublin, and I added a mimonav shach based on longus to add a riot to Rav Moshe. But lemaisa, we don't actually give a hechsher because mechura davar, it's not proper to give a hechsher to a factory that's mevatalos l'achila. Again, if you're talking about cases where, you know, maybe you're stuck, et cetera, or you're talking about not giving a hashgacha, but just sort of, you know, knowing sort of what you can do, what you can't, then we'd be mankel. You know, if you, I don't know, you lived in France, and you knew the way they bake bread in your local bakery in a certain way, and they're mevatalos l'achila, then you could be mankel. That's me'ikra din. But to give a hashgacha on it is not proper. That's the policy of the OU, and I think all the other famous reputable kosher organizations, that an OU means all the ingredients are kosher. Shuto kamashmo, no bittel, no fooling around, no this, no that. Either it's kosher or it's not. Even if halachically it might be fine, but mechura davar, a hechsher should mean that all the ingredients are kosher. Again, I don't know if that means they slip up once in the factory and they do bittelos and achila, they don't do a recall. But meaning in terms of what the policies are.
When you're reading the Lucius Stride, you hint in there, you say if the majority were Jews or not. What if the product they're being bought to, because 99% of the customers are Jews, okay, maybe some Jews will make a little extra money and have OU extra on there, but they're not doing it because the Jews are doing it.
Right, so that's an interesting question. So, meaning even the Lucius Stride was only talking about where most of the consumers were Jewish. So the question becomes, what if most of the consumers aren't Jewish, but they're like, the truth is that even the Moshe Shrad, what if most of the, let's say the Moshe Shrad's town, most of the consumers were Goyish. He still made extra for the Jews, but most of the consumers were Goyish, right? So it's an interesting question. Maybe even the Moshe Shrad would be Mekel. I mean, most of them agree against the Moshe Shrad, but maybe even the Moshe Shrad would be Mekel if most of the consumers are, the actual case for Moshe was dealing with was where they were like making a special kosher run, which was all for Jews. So he didn't take that into account. But if I recall correctly.
In my sense, it seems to be an everyday case, I mean, by the OU. So it's
an everyday case, and halacha is its mutter, but we don't do it. That's the halacha.
Well, he said by Mishnah Svashal Bishvilo.
Because Mechur Adavar doesn't make a difference who the rogue is. It's just Mechur Adavar to give a hasher. But I hear your time.
He said mission is Rajal Bishvalo, that the person shouldn't be happy about it. Does that mean that he doctor doesn't want it? Is that Nichole? Or it means that, like, even if it's okay? Like,
meaning that it's not, you have to figure out what it means, not Nichole. But meaning that it's not that he's happy they did it this way, it's that he would rather they did it the kosher way, but they don't listen to him.
Objectively, but he doesn't
right.
mind.
I don't think Nichole means
his
right.
mind that it happened.
Right, because otherwise, what does he care? I think what it means is it's not like, oh, he's really happy they figured out this kunst, whatever, whatever. No. It's that he'd be much more happy if they did it in a glot way. Just they don't listen to him because they're not willing to take instructions from him.
Why is the guy being misbatel in these cases? I mean, the Maisa, it's not because he's interested in being Mevatel Isser. We should be able to be Mitzdari if the Prima Gadim in the
You mean it could be that in this case he's not being Mevatel B'mezid anyway?
He has no interest in, he's not trying to be Mevatel Isser for the Jews, for the few Jews that
no,
are
No, but he
product,
is, because you have to understand what it means he means to be Mevatel Isser. Meaning he wants the Lord in there. That's intending
but
to be Mevatel Isser.
But then we don't even come to it because the Aruch HaShulchan, that even if it's Batel, if he's interested in it.
The Shulchan Aruch Harav.
Oh, yeah, the Aruch Shulchan Aruch Harav. I mean, when's the practical
right.
case?
Interesting.
I thought you were talking about like the tuna fish that some dolphins get in there. So he's not interested in being Mevatel Isser. It's just very difficult to get, you know, the few dolphins out of
right.
the tuna.
That's a good horror.
So then it was really...
That's a good horror. I'm not sure. That's a very good horror. No, I did not. I'm sorry to say. Although I have thoughts about it. We can discuss that. Let's discuss that afterwards. Okay. Anyway, l'ma'aseh...
I just don't know what the halach l'ma'aseh cases are. Once we have the Shulchan Aruch Harav.
Right. I hear your taina. Meaning, what does it mean here? L'mavatel b'mezid. No, unless you say he could easily have avoided it. Right? He could easily have done otherwise. That's the case.
How does this apply to being a battle ahead? Being a battle Milton? Does Clara might say that the really enough might have intended to eat it without milk, you know, so might not really be a problem. So but yet the OU still would mark down OUD.
Meaning, if you have something where they're mevatel milk, then being mevatel milk is even more mako, because who says anyone ever planned to eat it with meat? So, l'chor, that would be in the same mechura hadavar. Still mechura hadavar, that the guy puts in milk and you give it a parav and people eat it with their meat. But you're right, in terms of the din, it would be even more mako, because who says his intention was that people would eat it with meat? Okay, this is very, very nogea le, very, very nogea le maisa. Okay, now, the, l'sharka le mutter. Okay, now we get into a discussion of, we leave betulus l'chachila really, and it'll come up a little, but we get into a discussion of Hanan. The Ramah says, hold on a second, this whole issue of Bitul Esel Rachila, he doesn't understand the relevance at all. What do you mean Bitul Esel? It means it fell in and it wasn't Batel. It fell in and it wasn't Batel, and then you add more, so that makes sense for the Machaber. But what's the Ramah's problem with the whole Shiloh of Bitul Esel Rachila? What? It's Hanan. I mean, you can't add more to be a Batel. Forget about Bitul Esel Rachila. There's no such Hechitimtza. What do you mean it fell into 30 and I added another 30? It fell into 30, that was Hanan. I'd have to add another 1,800. So, the Ramah says, no problem. V'davka sh'nisar yavish b'yavish o'fil v'lach v'lach l'man d'omer sh'in omer bo Hanan. K'il also v'zani b'yavish says, when would this whole Shiloh even come up? It would only come up if it was yavish b'yavish, meaning dry things that don't give taste to each other. Remember, there's no Hanan there. Right? I have, three kosher meatballs get mixed with three treif meatballs. Right, but they don't get cooked together. They're just like sitting on the table, jumbled up. So that's, each one's in a wrapper even, so you don't even need hadacha. But the wrappers are the same. So that's, or you know, this isn't such a crazy case, yavish b'yavish. you have a OU plant, and accidentally some of the cans are treif. And you can't tell. It's not like you could open them up and see if they have pork in them or don't have pork, just beans or pork and beans. No, accidentally you make this run of, 20,000 cans, and it turns out 10,000 of them are treif. Right? That's yavesh b'yavesh, right? And they didn't give tom to each other. Just each can is separate. So what can you do? Well, they're all usher. Can you add another few cans? and make it more kosher by making a robe kosher. So that's where you get to ein batlan uslachachila. But if it had been a chulin with lard, then it would be the chulin lard fell into 30 chulin would be chanan, and there would be no shaila anyway because it's too late to do it. Even if you tried to be batlan uslachachila, it wouldn't work. So he says, well, the or lach belach, according to the day in Simon Sadi Beis, remember the Mordechai says there's no chanan in lach belach. Right? The Mordechai is the only chanan if there's a blia into a solid piece. If there's a mixture of liquid, no chanan. So he makes an akimta of no chanan. Excuse me, aval chaticha. Shabala iser, lo mahanishin tozva chargat haheter da aminan bein chanan. Because we say chanan, right? So a chaticha, that's Bolea Isser, which the Kuli Alma, we say Hanan from Dashkenazim, right? Like Rabbi Tam. Then there's not even a Shaila Bitlus Rachila because it's Hanan anyway. The Shach deals with exactly what he means. The halach is clear, meaning what he means is that A, this Chaticha is going to be trade forever. And that's true for everyone. But now the Chaticha is going to be trade forever. Timavatil, it's not going to be enough to just add on a little Timavatil Isser. You're going to need 60 connected the whole Chaticha. And therefore, it's unlikely you'll ever get into a Shaila Bitlus Rachila because. You know, you need to be vatzal adisul chachila. You need to add 60 times the whole chaticha. The Ramah concludes the yesh omrim da filu v'makom de lo amrin and chanan lo mahani yahetu levatel ella in mitosef kodem shenoda ha ta'aroves avalam noda ta'aroves kodem lo mahani mashitosef acharkach says yesh omrim. There's a big chumrah. L'chori means a smog here. There's a yesh omer, big chumrah, that even without chanan, if it's no dahataroves and then you add, then it's not going to be mutter. Right? And he adds, ulfiza yitzor chorom mor levatel iser lachrim tos meheter lachr shenoda velo nogukei. According to this yesh omer, what did no Tarobis? You know there was a Tarobis. If you know there's a Tarobis of Isser and Heter, then forget about it, even without the rule of Chanan. Adding on won't make it mutter anymore. And according to this, every time a person gets a Shaila, they say, I have some treif in my soup, say, how much treif, how much soup, the rabbi should have to ask another question. Was all the soup there when the treif fell in? Or did you realize the treif fell in and that add more soup afterwards? Because anything you add after no Tarobis won't help. But no, we came, we're not knowing that way. We'll come back in a second what that means. That's the smag in the Torah Lahore. What's the svar of the Ramah? Why? If no da tarobes, once you know there was a tarobes, why should it never be batel afterwards? So there's no chanan and no da tarobes, then why should it never be batel afterwards? So what did the Nosei Kamel explain the Ramah? Right, this really is the issue of the smog. Let's go back here for a second. We have a machlokas between the smog and the tor. We have to figure out what the machlokas between the smog and the tor is. What does the smog say? The smog says, you have to ask, right? Sorach HaMoreh, if you get a Shaila, you have to ask if this was what it looked like at the time the Isser fell in, or if the Isser fell in later. If the Isser fell in, then more was added later. Right? So if the woman comes and says, how much lard was there? 1 ounce. How much shulam? 100 ounces. You're not allowed to say mutter. You say, well, was all the shulam there at the time, or did you add water afterwards? And how much water did you add afterwards? If she says, well, it was 50, and then I added 50 afterwards, you say, oh, it's treif. So, that's the smog. You have to ask, because if heter was added later, it's not mitzarev levatel ha'iser. What? Unclear. We'll see. So, and the Torah says that even if heter was added later, it's mitzarev levatel ha'iser. But what's the machlokas between the smag and the Torah? Why did the smag machmer and why did the Torah make it? Anyone want to give me a pshat? Can you give me anyone's pshat? Even your own, if you think you're smarter than the Gedolei Achronim. What do you mean? Why? But what's the machlokas? Start with the smag. Why does the smag think it's usher? Why isn't what you add later mitzaris levatel? What does Beis Yosef say? The Beis Yosef says. He says that. Well, what would you say? Could you think of a reason why if you added later it wouldn't help you in levatel? Very simply and easily. What? Kanan, because he holds like Rabbi Tam. That there's Kanan Mishari Surin. And then what does the Torah say back to him? Why is the Torah not worried?
Hold like Rabbi Ephraim.
Exactly. Rabbi Ephraim. No Kanan Mishari Surin. That is the Beis Yosef shot in the Smag in the Torah. Why does the Darkei Moshe not like the Beis Yosef shot? It's not a killer question. Why does he not like the Beis Yosef shot? Because then what should the Torah at least have said? He should have said, Bas B'cholov, I admit. I'm only making a shari sir. Okay. After all, we're already helping Tarovos. Okay. That's the Beis Yosef shot. What's the... That's definitely not the Ramah's shot in the smog. Because when the Ramah paraphrases the smog, he says, "Afilu b'makom delo amrin and chanan," right? Even besides chanan, it doesn't help. So what's the Ramah's shot? Why even without chanan wouldn't it help? Anyone? What's shot? What?
Well, not the Kino Yisrael.
No, that's what the Taz says. Not to this question. So here, there's different. The Darkei Moshe. Sorry, the Ramah says when he explains the smag. What does he say? He says it's if it was noda hataroves, then it's usher. Why? So the notes he doesn't say. The notes Kalim explain because kansinan shoge. As he says, look, bitulus of achil b'mezid we make a knas. The smag was of the opinion that even b'shogeg we make a knas. But only if it was no da tarobes. Meaning, if you added het to b'shogeg and you didn't even know there was a tarobes, then it's not shy to make a knas there. You were totally innocent. Right? You were pure as snow. But if you knew there was a tarobes, then you suspiciously, quote unquote, b'shogeg, added some more hetter. Then we make a knas atu mezid. The very similarly, the Nekudas HaKesef says on the in his Asaga on the Taz, that long Taz of Kutin Ches, the Nekudas HaKesef just says Tansin and Shogeg atu mezid. He doesn't even bring in the issue of Noda Harobes. He just says the smog holds Tansin and Shogeg atu mezid. So it's basically the same pshat in the smag, just the Ramah adds this, well, we'd only be so mean to you if it was no that harobes. The Nekudas HaKesef doesn't go into this. Either way, what's the pshat of the Torah? So what is the Torah holding then? What did the Torah respond to the smag? Lo kansin hashogeg atu mezid. Right, Zemach Logis Tanoim, and the smag holds kansin hashogeg atu mezid. And the Torah holds lo kansin hashogeg atu mezid. This leaves us with one shot left, the Taz. According to the Taz, what's the reason of the smag? Interestingly, the Taz says almost like the Shach and the Ramah. According to the Taz, what's the reason of the smag? And the Taz is actually the most majority in the Lashon of the Torah. According to the Taz, what's the reason of the smag? Don't tell me something else the Taz says. Tell me what the Taz says about what the reason the smag says you have to check, because if she added water later, it's usher.
Yeah,
because it's amazing. Even the Torah agrees. So what's the logic of the smag according to the Taz? The Taz says, she says, the shogeg, but we don't believe her. Means the Taz says, in a chanami, if she had eaten that it was the shogeg, lo kasin shogeg yot amazed. If she could prove it was shogeg, we wouldn't make a knas shogeg yot amazed. But we don't believe her that it's b'shogeg, and we think she's lying, and it's really b'mezid. That's why the smog thinks it would be a problem if you added later. So in this case, we're a machmer because we have a we think people are extra likely to lie about this case. So what did the smog say? What did the Torah say back? He's actually the most meduyek because according to him, the Torah is directly responding to the smog. Because what did the Torah say back? What? He says, what do you mean? The Torah says, we do believe her. How do you know we believe her? Because what's the smag shita? You should ask her if she added later or not. Well, if you don't believe her, then what's the point of asking if she added later? Right? We do believe her because we believe her. About whether she added later, and this is like a pesha asur or a pesha hiter, right? He doesn't use this line, but everyone knows again, pesha is a pesha hiter. She's the one who admitted she added more later. We thought it was mutter. She says, "Oh, I admit it wasn't such a full pot, and I added water after the asur fell in. But I did it b'shogi. So if we believe that she added water, we should believe her it was b'shogi. That's why he's machal against the pesha simcha piyut." No, we use that Makula, not Lachora. Okay. So that's Pesha Asur Pesha Hiter. After all, she's the one who admitted that there was, first it fell into 30, and then she added another 30. So she's the one who admitted it, and I believe her, it was Bishogeg. These are the four ways of three or four, because two and three are really the same, more or less. Ways of understanding the Lachlok, the Smag, and the Tor. Now, before we figure out how we paskin, Taka, which shot in the Smag seems like it should bother us the most. Which shot in this smog should really bother us and make us be choshish? Okay. Somewhat of a subjective question, but I would say, come on. Right? Meaning, forget about the machlokas between the smog and the Torah. What about, objectively, there are halachic issues here. If he asked me, what about Bitlus Achila, the answer is, we're not Koni Shogi. But what about Hanan? Meaning, doesn't Rashi Yosef have a good point? Remember, everyone else says they're not talking about Hanan. Very nice, they're not talking about Hanan. So Taka, why aren't we worried about Hanan? Right? For the Torah. Why isn't it Usur? Because of Hanan. So, one answer is, the Beis Yosef, he holds like Rabbeinu Ephraim. What's another answer to why the Torah isn't worried about Hanan? I think the Darkei Moshe has three, right? What's another answer why the Darkei Moshe isn't, why the Torah isn't worried about Hanan? Again, for the Beis Yosef, he's not worried about Hanan, because he holds like Rabbeinu Ephraim. But most people assume, no, the Torah here is Bein B'Shar Yisur and Bein B'Basar B'Chalav. In which case, you have to make an Okimta of Shari Surin. Otherwise, what does the Darkei Moshe say, or the Taz say? Why are we not worried about Hanan? Why aren't we worried about Hanan? So first, the Darkei Moshe says, he makes an Okimta. He says it's Yavesh B'Yavesh, or Lach B'Lach, according to the Mordechai and the Ravid. He says it must be, make an Okimta, that they're arguing that a case with no Hanan was Yavesh B'Yavesh, without transfer of taste. So there can't be Hanan, or Lach B'Lach, according to the there's no Hanan, and Lach B'Lach. Fine, make it okay to the no Hanan. The second day of the Darkei Moshe is very strange. I don't even understand it properly, so please don't embarrass me by asking me the Svara. Is that there's no Hanan if he was Mosek B'Shogeg. I'm not sure I understand what the story behind that would be. He said, since he's Mosek B'Shogeg, no Hanan. I have no idea why Hanan should have to do with the person B'Shogeg or Mesid. That's very strange. What? Yeah, that you're thinking of the last pshat in Darkei Moshe. The Darkei Moshe is pshat that he likes. The pshat that he likes. The pshat that's here's pshat number one, pshat number two. The pshat that's Niralo is much more reasonable. He says, hold on a second. When do you think she realized there was a shayla? If she asks, if she calls me on the phone now, when do you think she realized there was a shayla? Menastam? Now. So beforehand, she didn't know there was a shayla. That's not an okimta. That's logical. If the lady calls me at 3 o'clock, then obviously at 2:50 she didn't know there was a shayla because she didn't call me yet. Which means when she added more, she didn't know yet. So then he says a very nice pshat. Ein chanan im lo noda hatarovis adayin. Ein chanan if it wasn't noda hatarovis. Now, there's a fifth pshat, the Taz. But first we should mention this Darkei Moshe. That is the topic of this very, very long shach. Sifatin, what was it? Tesvav. There it is, right. The very long shach of Kutin Tesvav takes on this Darkei Moshe. This Darkei Moshe is a tremendous kula. Now remember, this is sort of in a different direction from the Ramah here. The Ramah here says, even without Chanan, if it's no that's Harovas, it's Aser. This Ramah is saying, even if there is Chanan, there's even if Chanan is Shaykh, there's no Chanan if it's not no that's Harovas. What's Pshat? Why should there be no Chanan until no that's Harovas? Because Chanan is not like a natural physical result of the Tarovis. No, Chanan is a result of the implicit psak of the Tarovis. If you diyas Tarovis, when we know there's a Tarovis, there's an implicit psak of Isser, and that creates Chanan. It's not naturalistic. It is legal psak-based. So the Ramah is a tremendous kula. There's no Chanan until a Jew knows that this Tarovis happened. That is not makel on everything. That's a pretty big kula. There's no Chanan until you know. The Shach brings from all over Shulchan Aruch riots against him. Shach kills him. Brings so many riots against him. you can get out of that. And the Achron would obviously, you know, go back and forth.
Does the Shach use it? We didn't have a chance to go over it. So, but does the Shach use this bar elsewhere in the Ramah? Is some other, can he use it to get out of the Kasha on the Asir of the Ramah?
Not that I recall. The Mechaber used this by sticking the spoon in twice. But the Ramah was making either way. He didn't use this.
The Shach,
I mean, you have to explain that Mechaber. But,
For himself, or for the Ramah.
Right, but that, no, that was actually a slightly different, no, sorry, that was different. That, oh, they were discussing a different angle, Kamakama Bat, although you could also ask why was there Chanan if it's one of the Torahs, but that they didn't bring up so much. Lemaisa, it seems that the Mechaber, by sticking the spoon in twice, seems to assume there is Chanan in Lono Netarovas, because he says if you don't know and you stick it in twice, you need 120, because the spoon became, the blias in the spoon became Chanan. So okay, so that's the Mechaber. Then he brings all kinds of proofs from all over. The Shach argues. Shach is Machmer and says, there's Chanan immediately. Now this has tremendous nafkaminas halacha l'maisa. Does Chanan only chal when you know, or even before you know, as long as it got as long as it got mixed? So lemaisa, the Ramah here is mekel. The Shach points out that he's not really sure. It could be that the Ramah was closer with the Shulchan Aruch. In the Shulchan Aruch, he only says a machmir that if no that harov is across the board usher. He doesn't say a makel that if no that's her across the board mutter. So it's not clear even whether Ramah and Shulchan Aruch continue along this line of thought. But the Maaseh of the Darkei Moshe is makel. He says Chanan doesn't happen until you know the Tarovis. Shach says Makor says ridiculous. Chanan happens right away. Remember, like Yisur Dovik and all the stuff. Chanan happens right away. He brings many rayas ayin shum. Halacha lemaisa the Achronim are a little misopic. If you look at the Pesachim Tshuva, Sifkan Vav, he quotes a lot of Achronim here who are not sure where to go. Most Achronim agree with the Shach. Rov Achronim agree with the Shach that Chanan is chal immediately. That Chanan is chal immediately. Even if you don't know the Tarovis yet. Chanan is chal right away. Most Achronim, however, the Minchas Yaakov suggests that by Lach Balach Mishari Surim, there might be grounds to be Mekel, and the prima godim is like a little masupik what to do vishari surim. So the Rama is definitely, you know, something mitzarif to other tzadim lahakel. I'm definitely what's mitzarif to other tzadim lahakel. I ain't shown the pesach tshuva, but most achronim pesach tshuva quotes them and all over agree with the shach on this. Okay, so there's a very fundamental machlokus. Is Hanan caused by the mere facts of the Taroves, or only by your knowledge of the Taroves, which creates an implicit psak? The Ramah says until you know and create an implicit psak, there's no Hanan, which is why the Torah wasn't worried about Hanan. And the Torah says you don't have to check. Yeah, you don't have to check if they added later, because if it wasn't known the Taroves, there's no Hanan. But the Shach says no, you do have to check. The Shach says even if they didn't know the Taroves yet, there's still Hanan. Lemaisa. Anyone give me a fifth explanation of the Taz, why the Torah wasn't worried about Hanan? Anyone? Now this Taz is very docha, because he thinks he was worried about Bitzulus and Chachila, which is in a weird case of right away where it wasn't Hanan. But the Taz says, Ein machzikim iser, right? Lo machzikim nisura. We don't assume it was done in the way of Hanan. Why was the Torah not worried about Hanan? Well, he would have been worried about it if he thought it happened, if he thought you added. But we're not choshesh. We don't have to be choshesh that you added later after Hanan. Right, we don't think choshesh that first it fell in and became Hanan and then you added later. So we're not choshesh, we're not assuming it, sir. Even though we could just ask, we're not machzik yemisser. Okay, let's figure out the halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa. Let's review the issues. Number one, kansina show you to mezid. The answer is we hold lo kansina show you to mezid. Do we believe her if she says she's a shogeg? We hold we do believe her. Is there hanan? We hold. Well, we basically hold there is Hanan in most cases. We hold there usually is Hanan, so let's go to the end of the Ramah. The end of the Ramah says, Lo Nogu Kain, we're not knowing to check and ask her. To ask her whether she added later. Why not? So the Levush, who's quoted in the Shach Sivkutin Test Zion says very dark shot of the right. Says no, really, we are knowing to ask her if she added later, because if she added, if it fell in first and then she added more later, it might have become Hanan. When he says lo nogu kain, means we are knowing to ask her. We're just not knowing to be machmir a no that's harobis in case where there's no Hanan. Like we're not, it's we're not, we are knowing to ask her, but we're not knowing the line before that of katsina shogi to meis it. That's a dark shot of the right. Says. Because he's saying, Lo Nogu Kain is not going on the previous line, but on two lines ago. We are knowing to check with her whenever she asks for a shayla. But we're not knowing to say, Kam Sina Shogu to Mezid. That's very dull. But Pashup Shad is, we're not knowing to ask her. Why aren't we knowing to ask her? Why aren't we worried about Hanan? So which is the only answer that we should accept Lamaisa? Why aren't we knowing to answer, to ask her? Right, that's what the Shach also says. The Shach, again, not... that's what the Shach also in terms of the Ramah. Basically, all the Nosakim agree with the Ramah that halacha lemaisa, which answer do we hold like? We hold like the Taz. We say, why aren't we known to ask her? Not because it wouldn't be a Shash of Hanan if she had added later. We hold it would be a Shash of Hanan. Remember, we hold there's even Hanan b'shari surin, there's even Hanan in lach b'lach, right? There's no hefzer meruba. There's even Hanan who is low note that's our robes. We hold there's always Hanan. So, why don't we know to ask her? So, that's what the Shach says. Shach says we're not knowing to ask her because v'atag lo nogu lachor nir le'idachzuk yisur lo maslikinan v'hechite sanema shosifa lo acharka. Because why should we assume we have heter and iser? Why should we assume the heter was added in two stages, some first and some later? Why we have 60 heter and one iser. Why should we assume there was 30 heter and then she added another, and then the iser fell and she added another 30? Why do we have to assume weird scenarios? So the Shach says that's what we paskin. But l'chora we paskin lo machzikin and iser, because and therefore we don't have to ask. The Marshal quoted by Taz says we do have to ask. the Pri Chadash, in his Perush on Shulchan Aruch here, thinks we do have to ask. This is an H. Machlokes. Pri Chadash says we do have to ask because it's so common. Everyone knows women add water to the toilet later. It's so common that that's not Machzik and Isser. That's like the normal way it happens. So this is a very interesting Machlokes. Again, the Ramah, the Shach, and the Taz assume you don't have to ask because even though it would be a Hanan problem, you don't have to ask because lo Machzik and Isser, because we don't even have a lady, we don't even have to ask. We don't have to bother to ask because we don't have to think strangely so it happens. However, the Marshal and the Prichadish say we do have to ask, and the Prichadish says, why do we have to ask? Because it's very common. Halachal Maisa probably, I don't know, is it common that that you don't put in all the water of the soup at once? I don't know, halacha l'maisa, the Prichadash might have a point. I mean, if it's a case where it's a very common way to do it, that you add it little by little, then l'achor, you should have to ask. But if it's not so common, it's just a possibility, then l'machzikin nisura, you wouldn't have to ask. But the Prichadash does sort of have a point. This is the problem with l'machzikin nisura. Like, you don't have to suspect something happened in a special way of isser. But if that's like the normal way for it to happen, maisim kol yom, then you can't hide your head in the sand. That seems to be machlokas here. The Ramah, the Shach, and the Taz say, no, you don't have to suspect that there was... When the Isser fell in, there was less than 60 heter, then she added more heter. Why? And it was Hanan. Why should you suspect that? Well, the Bichadosh says, what do you mean? That's what happens when people cook. They always add water later. So, it probably depends. If it's the normal way to keep adding water later, then you probably should ask. But if it's you know, doesn't seem to be the normal way based on the question, then you don't have to ask just in case. That should be the halacha l'maisa.
When I make my famous matzo ball soup, matzo balls and noodles soak up a lot of water. So you cook the matzo balls and noodles first, and you're adding in more water later because they soak up so much water. So you make soup like that.
So l'chor, if it's the kind of recipe where the normal way to do it is to add water later, then you should ask.
When you say one third fiddle, then
what?
You one third fiddle with all the water, and if you're going to add more later, then it would be the matzo.
That would depend what fell in. If a solid piece of Isser fell in, then l'chora, if it evaporates, we suspect maybe the tam went out after the water evaporated, and it's a problem. If liquid Isser fell in, then the assumption is that Rosh Hashanah evaporates, Isser evaporates with it, and besides that, it's written as fatal, and even without that, then it's written as fatal immediately because it's more throughout, so then you'd be okay. So I think that would depend if a liquid Isser fell in or a solid Isser fell in. Okay, we'll have to save Sivvav and Eretz Hashem for next time.
Sure.
Oh, but it doesn't do with women. I just use that example for men.